you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from John chapter 14, verse 6.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6.
O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, start of a new week. It's June 17th, 2024. And the voice you just heard reading John chapter 14, verse 6 is Jim Miller, a good friend, a free agent for Jesus, one of our radio station board members. Actually, he's the treasurer, so he always makes sure that all your dollars and donations are carefully stewarded and looked over and balanced. And he assists this radio ministry in a number of ways. He helps out currently. What are we calling you? Like director of facilities or direct?
Project manager.
Project manager. He's looking after our 19 different locations, assisting in various ways. He and Tad Jagish were on top of our Fithian trailer home that has the studio and the transmitter and some other rooms of storage. And anyways, there was a leak and they were working on that some weeks ago, and he's doing an assessment on our various sites. So Jim Miller helps in a number of ways. And also Dave Fitch joins us in the studio. In fact, he's an author of a book that's recently been released titled Why Is This Happening with a question mark, and yet it also has an exclamation point and the subtitle A Search for the Truth. And so Dave serves as our director of development for Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. He's been doing a number of different projects, helping with the Decatur frequency, doing some radio announcements, and also assisting with listener relations and such. But today we're going to have Dave, maybe today and tomorrow, talk about his book, Why Is This Happening? And so Dave, I'm just going to throw it out right away. The title of your new book is Why Is This Happening? A Search for the Truth. But it also has that question mark and exclamation point. Why did you decide to have the exclamation point and the question mark?
Well, it's a very important question that needs to be answered within our culture today. It's getting a lot of excitement, a lot of attention, and I just felt it was more than just a basic question.
On the back, it asks, is our culture about to break? That sounds very intriguing. What is this book about?
Well, it takes a look at all the crazy changes that are happening in our culture and digs down into the roots of why this is happening.
What changes are you referring to?
All the concerning ones. The increase in crime, the increasing anxiety and suicides and other mental health issues, decreasing trust in government and institutions, the perversion being taught to our children, the Marxism being taught in high schools and universities where everyone is supposed to either be oppressed or oppressors and everyone needs to hate everyone, another group. Then there's the COVID pandemic, and now the forecasted bird flu pandemic that's going to be 10 times worse. Then there's also the extreme political divide. We've never been so polarized in our country, probably since the Civil War. And then there's increasing tyranny and authoritarianism, inflation, the economy, and a widespread feeling that no one can keep up and feel comfortable about their future. And then there's increasing persecution of Christians, and I could go on and on. All of this is creating a lot of anxiety, and people are wondering, why are all these things happening, and why are them all at once? A lot of people on television, radio, and podcasts are asking the very question, why is this happening? And I've heard dozens of different answers, but none of the mainstream media hosts or guests are ever going to explain the real reason all this is happening, and it's important that we understand this. If the reason this is happening is the one answer that is ruled out as a possibility, we'll never know the reason why. But we can know, and it's vital we do know. In order to understand this, we have to look at the Bible in a different way than what we considered in modern American Christian churches, because the way it's intended is politically incorrect today. Throughout the Bible, we're offered a dichotomous choice, meaning there are only two options. For example, there's the wide path and the narrow path. Mm-hmm. There's the sheep and the goats. There's God's kingdom or the world. self-will or God's will, rebellion or submission, over and over again. That's the general theme throughout the Bible. But it's not understood that way by most Christians I talk to, and certainly not by the general public. It comes across more as that best book of advice, and we can all pick our spot on the continuum, but we'll all end up in the same place. That's not what the Bible says. We have a simple choice. Accept God as who he says he is, or reject God as who he says he is. That's not a politically acceptable position in our culture, so most churches stay away from it for fear that we'll chase people away from the church. What has happened is that over time, we've dummied down the gospel to where it's not that attractive to people. It doesn't dramatically change their life. It's not compelling. If God's word is true, which it is, mm-hmm. and if it's the one and only truth that exists in our world, and if God created all of us, loves all of us, and will judge us, shouldn't that be a compelling message? The fact that it's not, and the fact that church attendance is dropping dramatically, tells us that the message from the American Christian Church today is not helping people understand the relevance of the Bible to their lives every single day. Only once we understand the Bible in the context that it was written, focused on the dichotomous choice every person will make in their lifetime, then can we understand the societal level changes and the momentum that we see all around us. In the book, Why Is This Happening?, I walk through in detail how people on each path think, the wide path and the narrow path. All these dramatic changes we're seeing are driven by the clash between those on the wide path and those on the narrow path. For many decades in our country's past, those two paths were divergent, but still close enough we could see each other and get along with each other at intersections of our paths. But what were we thinking when we allowed prayer and the Bible to be taken out of our public schools in the early 60s? Did we honestly think there would be no consequences once we stopped telling people that there are only two paths? What has happened in recent years is that those who are in open rebellion against God have been loud and proud in their efforts to get that wide path completely turned away from the narrow path, shutting down any mention of a narrow path, and eliminating all mention of right and wrong, good and evil, and all judgment and consequences. They've actually been very effective at making that happen throughout our culture, including in many of our churches. That's the bottom line of all this. The attempt of those most rebellious against God to eliminate all judgment and consequences. That's creating all these dramatic changes we're seeing.
I'm going to come back to this question in just a second. How is that showing up in our society? But in case somebody's just tuning in, I have Dave Fitch. He's our director of development in the studio with me. You might hear his voice over the air, or he might call you up. He's doing some donor relations. He's talking about the future of this radio ministry. But he's also published this book recently. It just came out titled, Why Is This Happening? A Search for the Truth. I've been at a number of gatherings where he's been sharing his book with many people. They're very fascinated about this because it's a topic in our culture. Is our culture about to break? And so Dave addresses that in a number of ways. I think you're going to appreciate purchasing multiple copies. Dave, how can they get in touch with you, or how can they purchase this book, Why Is This Happening?
Yeah, they can go to my website, defendingthefoundation.org. That's defendingthefoundation.org. And then there's a button on there to purchase the book.
That's defendingthefoundation.org. Also joining me in the studio is board member Jim Miller. In fact, Jim, it's been interesting. Peter Miller, your son, has been here at the WLUJ stations a number of times, and he's been reading his book. Like he said, I had an hour to kill. He came here, he pulls it out, and he reads it. And so I was going to have him a part of this interview, but he wasn't available today. So we have Jim Miller, a good friend, joining us in the studio. Jim also serves on our radio board, and as I mentioned in our opening comments, has been a friend for many, many years. So Dave, back to the original question, how is this showing up in our society?
Well, it shows up in a myriad of ways, Mark. Like, for example, attempts to eliminate the inclusion of faith in any public discussions by claiming that the supposed separation of church and state prevents anyone from mentioning or practicing their faith in public. That's very common. Look at what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs' Harrison Butker recently. If you're a domestic abuser in the NFL, the NFL will keep quiet about that. But espouse your Christian faith at a college commencement, and the NFL will quickly disassociate itself from you and not support you. But hey, at least a shout out to his teammates and coach who did defend his right to free speech. And then think about the Montana parents who pushed back against the efforts to transition their daughter, and then the state Health and Human Services Department removed the child from their custody without due process or a warrant and gave custody of the child to her biological mother so the child could be moved to Canada for the transition, despite the parents' deeply held religious beliefs. Christians are not pushing back on these things strong enough because we're afraid of the criticism we'll get from the vocal minority who will resist our efforts. It's also showing up in other ways, like lies. For example, lies are rampant throughout our culture. And then there's outright Satanism, too. Look at the growing efforts to put after-school Satan clubs in more and more public schools. And think about the push by many public libraries to have drag queen story hours and have men dressed as women dance provocatively in front of children and justify it because they read a storybook to the children. There's very little resistance to the growing influence of evil in our culture.
Dave, your book sounds interesting and can obviously help us understand what is happening and why it's happening. How did this happen?
It's really very simple, Jim. In order to please man instead of God, we slowly dummied down the gospel and took anything negative out of our messages. I remember attending a seminar at Willow Creek Church led by Bill Hybels back in the early 90s. Ministers were flocking there at the time to learn about their seeker-friendly, quote-unquote, philosophy, which eliminated all mention of anything negative. Most churches today are afraid to mention Satan, hell, sin, or judgment. It's like denying there's a second side of a coin. As a result, even Christians today are unaware that they face a spiritual battle every day. So the broader culture is completely unaware of it. I like to use a football analogy to understand this. It's just the way my mind thinks. But in today's culture, if you're a 10-year-old boy and you're playing middle linebacker in junior football, JFL, you are taught when you line up to look across the line of scrimmage at your opponent, see how they're lined up. Do they have two tight ends in tight, or do they have four wide receivers out wide? Before your opponent does anything, you're already getting an idea of what they're likely to do. And then as soon as that ball is hiked and that quarterback takes a step back, you're taught to immediately, instantly recognize what your opponent is doing and then react instinctively to stop your opponent from what he's doing. Why don't we do that in the spiritual battle that we're facing today? After I use this analogy in the book, I devote an entire chapter to understanding and recognizing evil and the many ways in which we face evil in our world today. And then the next chapter talks about truth and the lost art of discernment. We are in the situation we're in today because there's little resistance against evil. We don't think it exists, so we supposedly don't need a strategy to stop it or even recognize it. We've reached a watershed moment in our country. If we don't push back, the consequences will be enormous, really unimaginable. I just recently heard Dr. Charles Stanley preaching on WLUJ, and he stated that there are always consequences to sin. Sometimes the consequences are immediate, and sometimes they're delayed. Sometimes they're for the individual, but they're also for nations. That's another topic I don't hear preached about today. But the Bible is filled with testimonies about God serving up consequences as a whole nation at once. Sometimes it was against Israel's enemies, but other times the consequences were suffered by Israel, God's chosen people, because they rebelled against him. That's not a popular topic to preach about today, especially with application to our own country's current rebellion. But think about it. Israel went back and forth between submission and rebellion and submission and rebellion. They'd be blessed by God, like when they escaped from Egypt because God parted the Red Sea for them. Then after a while, they forgot about that, first grumbling against God and eventually, after several generations, forgetting about him. Once they forgot about him, they lived in open rebellion against him until God couldn't stand to be mocked any further and he would punish them. In many cases, severe punishment, until finally they opened their eyes and realized, oh, this is happening because we've forgotten about God and we're rebelling against him. We need to get back to a life of obedience and worshiping God. Then they'd come back to submitting to God again for a few generations, but they wouldn't stay focused on God and teach their children about God and what he's done for them. Each time that God's people were rebelling against God, they didn't realize at the time they were in a state of rebellion. They were living what they thought was the normal life for their time. That was obviously true in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, too. They were completely unaware of the disrespect they were showing the one and only God who created the whole world and who loved them and would soon show judgment against them. Hmm. We are living in a culture today that has forgotten God or is made up of a hyper-grace God who never judges or causes any consequences for their actions. Our mainstream culture is completely unaware of the disrespect we're showing our Creator God. And that includes the mainstream media, most of our federal government, our universities, Hollywood, and more of our local schools. We are so arrogant as a culture that we think there are no consequences, and there will never be any national consequences. Who's ever heard of such a thing as national consequences? Mm-hmm. Well, the reality is, there's a long list of them in the history of the world, and we're not the exception. Every country believes they're the exception until the consequences come. Israel had to deal with 70 years of captivity in Babylon. What consequences will the United States have to suffer through that we deserve for rebelling against God? How bad does it have to get before more people will wake up and realize that we have to wake up to God's reality? Being woke to rebellion is not serving us well. We need to become woke to God's truth. We have to believe John 14:6 that He is the truth. God's nature and His word are the truth. So anything that does not align with that is, by definition, a lie.
Before I close out, Dave, with this question, what will reading the book, Why Is It Happening, do for its reader? I want to point out, in case you're intrigued, you've been tuned in and you're fascinated by this concept, Why Is This Happening? A Search for the Truth. You can purchase multiple copies. The author and who's being interviewed is Dave Fitch. He's our director of development, but he did this book on his own. He's been thinking about this for many years, and you can pick up copies at defendingthefoundation.org, defendingthefoundation.org. So, Dave, what will reading this book do for its reader?
Well, first, it will help them to understand the dichotomous context of the Bible. That will lead to their recognizing the dichotomous choices they face in their lives, many more than they realize on a daily basis. Second, it'll help them to understand if they're willing to hold a point of view because it's correct and true, or whether they're likely to succumb to peer pressure and assume points of view that the majority of society wants them to hold. It will also help them to better discern things that are of the wide path versus things that are from the narrow path, so they can make choices that align with God's will. And most importantly, it'll give them hope, because once we understand the context of a situation, we can deal with adversity better. Understanding helps to eliminate the fear, because we at least know what is happening and why. We are where we are as a society because there's little resistance against evil. We don't think it exists, so we don't need a strategy to stop it or even recognize it. When I was a kid, I needed braces because my teeth were out of line. They didn't look great, they didn't feel great, and they weren't as effective as they should be at doing what they're supposed to do. But once I got braces and my teeth were moved to align the way they were supposed to, they looked better, they felt better, and they were much more effective at what they were meant to do, to chew food. Our individual lives and our culture are that same way. Right now, though, our culture is out of line with what God intended, and it's getting more out of line every day. My book does in detail a plan for everything we must do to get back in alignment with God's will, though I do talk about that some in the last chapter. That would take another couple books to cover all that. But the purpose of this book is to help us to know that we're out of alignment and to recognize the ways we're out of alignment. We have to understand the problem before we can begin to solve the problem. Some people are beginning to stand up and fight. We need all of us to read the book, understand the problem, and then act together. We can stop this march of evil in our culture once we can all recognize it.
Yeah, what's been interesting, because I got the transcript before it was even printed, so I was reading a few pages every night before I'd go to sleep, and you had a lot of teasers. You said, hang with me, you're going to understand, let me build the case, and so you walk through different concepts, and I kept reading, and then you gave another teaser. It's going to all be explained. Just keep reading, you're going to understand, and it is really helpful to help us all understand these times we are in. You can purchase this book by stopping by defendingthefoundation.org, defendingthefoundation.org. It's published by Dave Fitch. and it's Why Is This Happening? A Search for the Truth. I recommend it, and I know Dave has copies here at the WLUJ studios, and you can purchase it, as mentioned, at defendingthefoundation.org. Are they like $18, I think?
Yes.
The cost is $18, and I think you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to want to buy multiple copies to pass on to your friends. It might be a great small group discussion starter that you all read it and talk about different concepts, but Dave Fitch is our Director of Development. We appreciate his gifts and skills, and God put this concept on his heart some years ago, and he's been thinking about it, writing about it, talking about it, and now it's published in this book, Why Is This Happening? With a question mark, yet also with an exclamation point, A Search for the Truth. Well, Dave, we'll be praying you up in the days ahead, and maybe we'll have you back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends to talk some more about this. And we pray that God continues to work in and through you as you assist with this radio ministry, as you meet our listeners, and as you proclaim the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, lifting him high in all that we do and say. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Dave Fitch, and Jim Miller with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Are we teaching the truth in love? Telling it like it is, while holding pure motives and showing that we care. Are we teaching the truth in love? Jesus, telling all that he had done to fulfill the good commandments. He knew every single one. But Jesus said there's something that indeed he did lack. Yes, the Savior told the truth. He didn't hold the message back, 'cause he was teaching the truth in love, telling it like it is, while holding pure showing that he cared. He was teaching the truth in love. Oh, yeah. A woman caught in evil and without an alibi. The truth so very obvious made no attempt to lie. With all the faults against her, well, she felt so alone. But Jesus asked the people who would throw the first stone, teaching the truth in love.